This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hope you had a fabulous weekend. As we roll into yet another week in June, a lot of us who were seemingly underwater for weeks on end are joining those in the sunlight. Nothing but sun, sun, sun. It was 108 where I am today. I walked the dog and I swear he melted before my eyes. No, just kidding. I carried water, luckily, with me, because at the end of a mile and a half, we were both panting. It wasn't about panting. It was more about, will there really be anything with any teeth in it that comes out of these G7 meetings? The way that we look at the takeaways from the U.S.'s point of view, you would think so, but we've been down these roads before. There's a lot of talk that's tough, and some of it that sounds good, and some of it that sounds ridiculous, and some of it that sounds like accountability that nobody will ever live up to. But it is good to meet with allies and to see what the reaction is to this new president, because this is the first time the president has been around some of the people that he huddled with, so to speak, over the weekend. We'll get into that. And oh yeah, speaking of the dog and the dog melting, there is a new Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show. I'll let you know who that is in just a few minutes, because I know you are, I'm sure, on pins and needles when it comes to that. But first, let's talk about, I think, what is interesting that's happened in Israel, a real changing of the guard. So while the G7 was going on, it was Naftali Bennett who was sworn in as Israel's new prime minister on Sunday. He won a confidence vote with the tiniest of margins, just 60 votes to 59. Let me say that again, 60 to 59, boom, he ousts Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So for 12 years, Netanyahu was the country's longest serving leader. He's out. After four elections in 2 years, Bennett's incoming government breaks this long cycle, this deadlock, and welcomes in, or maybe not, depending on your point of view and the rest of the world, in the most diverse coalition Israel has ever seen, including the first Arab party to serve in the government. In his speech before the confidence vote, Bennett celebrated the diversity and warned of polarization within the country. Here's what he said. He said, "Twice in history, we've lost our national home precisely because the leaders of the generation weren't able to sit down with one another and compromise." I like that. "Each was right, yet with their being right, they burnt the house down on top of us. I'm proud of the ability to sit together with people with very different views from my own." So, boom, Netanyahu could not cobble together a governing coalition with the majority of the 120 members available to him. That was it. So, President Joe Biden on Sunday congratulates Bennett in his first statement about the political situation in Israel, saying he looked forward to working with the new prime minister. It's a new era. Bennett wants to see something different in Gaza. Who knows? Could there really be peace in the Middle East, or at least along the Gaza Strip anyway? It was the G7 and what I call the big huddle. You heard me say that there. I guess some of the biggest takeaways, and we'll talk about it throughout the week, we'll weave in a little bit of that conversation, is, you know, this was huge, this visit to what they call the Cornish Coast. And in going there, there were certain tactics that were laid out. There were certain lists of here's what we want to see happen, you know, that kind of thing. There were certain differences that were absolutely in play. And, you know, Biden tried, I think one of his major proposals to the group is a global infrastructure program. He's trying for that to compete with China's Belt and Road Initiative. It was included in the summit's final statement, but no specific comments or commitments from countries on how much they're willing to contribute. So this goes to that accountability I said. You know, something big comes out or something with a whole bunch of potential gains for lots of different countries, but there's nothing in the language. There's no commitment. And without the commitment, we know, you know, how ultimately all of that goes. One of the things that was a statement that came out was a statement on ending the use of coal for electricity, but it was very vague and there was no timeline. And then there was language on China and calling out Beijing's human rights and economic abuses, but there was nothing that was holding China accountable. So call them out, say it's horrible what's happening, but then there's nothing to say this is what we're doing as a result of that. And really the European leaders were on board with President Joe. They kind of were restrained to go ahead with any of that. Now, on Sunday, the president said he was satisfied with the final document, but had no knowledge or didn't acknowledge an outcome would ever be perfect. He said, I think there's plenty of action on China. There's always something that you can, I'm sure my colleagues, they think they can improve. And he says he thought he had moved some of the leaders toward his view. The best example was a joint pledge by the leaders to provide an additional 1 billion vaccines to poor middle-income countries, including 500 million from the United States. We talked about that last week. Some members of the G7 are still struggling to vaccinate their population. So that was the thing that I think that came out of it, that, yeah, there's going to be accountability there because there was pledges that we're going to get this much, you're going to get that much, and we're going to make sure those vaccines get there. And then there was this kind of choreographed dance, I guess, to highlight what's coming up on Wednesday, the summit talks between or with Russian President Vladimir Putin. So he's been preparing for that in his downtime. That's going to happen in a Swiss villa overlooking Lake Geneva. Yeah, so G7, then to NATO, then to Putin, and then back to the United States. So that's what's happening with the president, and that's what I think comes out of the G7 that has some teeth in it is the vaccines and the pledges. But everything else, broad strokes, not a lot of commitments. All right, I committed that I was going to give you the payoff for who won the 145th annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show on Sunday. A Pekingese named Wasabi. Ooh, I have bad memories of wasabi. That's the stuff that burns your mouth, you know, when you're eating sushi, the green stuff. I didn't know what it was. Well, you know the rest. This dog is adorable, though. I've seen pictures of it. I saw some of the video of it. So the Pekingese wins best in show. By the way, the runner-up, this stuff's important, Bourbon the Whippet was the runner-up. This is a big show. It's the longest nationally televised live dog show, period, on the face of the earth. What's on tap around the bend?
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Tap. A lot of it has to do with travel, including, bummer, you know when it takes forever to load the plane? Remember those days? American Airlines is retiring its in-flight magazine. That goes along with Delta and Southwest are doing the same thing. Here's what I liked about that magazine. I would get so bored. Yes, I know we have things with us. Yes, we have our electronic devices. But people are stumbling, fumbling, crawling around you, putting things on in the overhead, finding their way. And I liked reading that magazine because that killed the time in between. Ladies and gentlemen, we're closing the door and we're ready to take off if you could hurry up and find your seats. So the first issue of American Airlines In-Flight Magazine, it was 1966. That's right. Flight attendants were called stewardesses. Boy, things have changed. But American says they're stopping their publication and they're joining the other airlines that are doing the same thing. During the pandemic, they decided against bringing them back. They continued publishing during the pandemic. I know that because I flew to Florida a couple months ago, but they decided that they weren't going to do it. Part of it is because of cleaning the flights, etc., and what people are afraid of, touching things, all that kind of stuff. So no longer. Instead, 600 movies and television shows. You can get those. Hopefully you have your electronics. You can stream them on your smartphones, tablets, laptops, and other electronic devices for free. So that's what they're doing instead. So no longer can you kill time that way.
bummer for me, because not like I have hundreds of flights planned, but that's what, honestly, that's what I really, 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 really did. All right, no more masks at Disney World. How about that? Fully vaccinated people don't have to wear masks starting Tuesday. That's what's on tap. You don't have to do it in Orlando. They're required for all guests on transportation and buses and monorails, of course, the Skyline, gondolas that they have, but you don't have to wear the mask otherwise at the most magical place on earth. They don't require you, though, to provide proof of vaccination, but they say they expect guests who are not fully vaccinated to continue wearing face coverings in all indoor areas upon entering and throughout attractions and transportation. In other words, it's the honor system. Ooh, I wonder how much you trust that at Disney World. The park has been enforcing both indoor and outdoor masking, and they dropped the outdoor masks in May, middle of May, and now fully they're lifting it all on Tuesday. So, wow, that's a big deal, because this has been a long time. Well, first of all, the park was closed for a while, and now when the park opened up, this is what they decided to do. So that is a big deal, because a lot of people travel to Disney World in the summertime months, and travel, of course, is starting to really, really, really pick up. All right, speaking of picking up, if you're thinking of doing the Yellowstone thing, make sure, especially if you're getting a campsite, you book it right now, right this second. Turn this show off and go and book this. Get on whatever device you have. Yellowstone National Park had its busiest May. Tourism is starting to really bounce back. They had over 483,000 recreation visits last month. That's up 11% from May of 2019. And they're having one of the busiest years they can remember. Through January through May, 658,000. Yeah. So that's a lot of people. And usually the park opens to, you know, cars, any kind of vehicles between mid-April and mid-May. But last year it was closed from late March through most of May because of the coronavirus. And so now it's really, really bouncing back. And there are three Montana entrances opened on June 1st. So the what's on tap is, you got to tap into making sure you get a reservation, because otherwise, I don't know that you get in the park. It's too jammed, which I think is a good thing that people are taking families there. All that's good, and that means we're seeing that bounce back that we've been talking about. That I feel like you can feel that momentum here, certainly in the United States. There's no question about that. Have you noticed people are shopping for cars perhaps a little bit more, or maybe they're not? It depends on what kind of car or truck or SUV you're talking about. Average age of vehicles, that's what's on tap, hit an all-time high. So it used to be the average age of whatever you had on the road was a lot shorter. It's topped 12 years old for the first time. For the first time. And it seems to be a trend. That's what's on tap. They think that it's going to continue to be long. The report reflects that continuation of a long-running trend of vehicles staying on the road longer. So it shows the increased durability, but also reflects higher value, perhaps. If you're talking about the average age of what's on the road is 12.1 years, up from 11.9 in 2020, that's interesting. It's something to look at. The report now happens while people are looking for used vehicle. Nearly two-thirds of people shopping are shopping for used cars. So a shortage of new cars because of the global semiconductor chip shortage stemming from the pandemic has driven shoppers into the used car market. It's increased the prices, but there's been that trend in going toward that anyway. So in general, the more valuable your car is, the longer you're likely to keep it. There's a lot of different factors mixed in that, too. And I was looking at all these numbers at the IHS Market report. It's a research firm. They do an annual report on the age of cars on the road in the U.S. So they see that trend continuing, and to maybe eke up a little bit more, that's what's on tap, than that 12.%, depending on the, obviously how the car performs and et cetera. But that's an interesting trend. It makes sense if you think of the chip shortage. What do you do? There's less availability and you're not finding what you want, so you're sticking with what you have. All right, this is a really good one. What's on tap is 100th birthday for Wheaties. Wheaties is going to put out a limited edition Muhammad Ali box of cereal. It's a commemorative cereal box, and it's hitting major grocery stores soon to celebrate the 100 years. It's a very cool picture of Muhammad Ali in his prime in a boxing pose, like he's in the ring. You don't see the ring around him, but it's obviously that's what they've captured there. So they're going to do a whole bunch, I guess, of different commemorative boxes. But the first is, and it's a collectibles, it's Muhammad Ali. And, of course, they chose it, they say, for his six core principles of confidence, conviction, dedication, giving, spirituality, and respect reflected in his approach to life, saying he goes first because no one was quite like Muhammad Ali for what he did in the ring. He was also an agent for social change and racial justice and so many other things that embody the proud American. So how about that? They picked him as number one, Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. He was actually featured on Wheaties boxes in 1999 and 2012. The new commemorative box is on the way to grocery stores and should be there this week. Few people may have already gotten them, but this is where they mostly land. Wow, that's pretty exciting, I think. I love that they're doing the commemorative boxes because, I don't know, there's something about that whole line, did you eat your Wheaties, but there's something about going back and taking legends or icons and why did they put them on there, and it makes sense to me, having read what they did, why they picked Muhammad Ali. I love that Muhammad Ali was number one. Because I think he was the perfect person to kick that all off. All right, what else is on tap? This week we'll look at the markets as we get deeper into the week. It's been a wild year so far with a lot of, certainly the ebbs and flows you normally see, but a lot of high stocks notching pretty modest gains for a third winning week for the S&P 500. Let's see what happens as we roll into yet another week and see what it looks like with technology companies. Mailbag next.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernard. U.S. President Joe Biden said on Sunday that autocrat Vladimir Putin was right to say that relations were at their lowest point in years, though he suggested that Russia might be weaker than it seemed and that Moscow had overreached in the Middle East. After attending a NATO summit on Monday, Biden will meet Putin on June 16th in Geneva. Verda Teta earned a standing ovation as the class speaker at her Massachusetts high school graduation, but what she did next had the crowd in awe.
I am so very grateful for this, but I also know that I am not the one who needs this the most.
The Fitchburg High School student, who will be attending Harvard College in the fall on a full scholarship, won an additional $40,000 scholarship from her high school. The 17-year-old gave it away shortly after it was awarded. This is USA Radio News. Representative Troy Nels, Republican of Texas, tells Fox News Live that the Biden administration is dangerously playing politics with the lives of the American people at the U.S. southern border.
Just last week, Kamala Harris said that she was at our southern border. That is a downright lie. My AUKUS gets in front of the American people and says our southern border is secure. That is a lie.
A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit over a hospital vaccine mandate. Dan Naraki has more.
The lawsuit from more than 100 employees at a Houston hospital over a mandate to get a COVID vaccination has been thrown out by a federal judge. Houston Methodist Hospital had given employees until June 7th to get vaccinated or face termination. The group sued the hospital, saying that the mandate violated federal law. In her ruling, U.S. District Judge Lynn Hughes said the employees weren't being illegally forced to get vaccinated. Lawyers for the plaintiffs said they would appeal the ruling. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks to you, and the two tall guys in the back for all that virtual mail. 24/7, you can flip me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. I know a lot of times people also try to get through and jam on and be part of the conversation. You can do that, too, at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Seems a lot of people want to talk about something that I was just going to dive into, and it's what's happening. Like, is it because it's summertime? Is it because things have just gotten that hot? But I got a couple of emails that centered around some of the shootings over the weekend, and sadly, there were way too many. Terrible what happened on 6th Street in Austin. Gosh, I was thinking, I have spent many a fabulous night in Austin, Texas, especially back a decade ago or so. But and a lot of people go there to listen to the incredible live music. A lot of kids are there because they go to UT. And one of 14 people hurt in Austin, Texas, in this mass shooting died. And it's just a senseless, crazy tragedy. Gosh, just awful. And, you know, here is a 25-year-old that dies because he happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Doug Cantor, his name was, and he died from those injuries on Sunday. He was shot through the abdomen just below the rib cage, and it went straight through. And he suffered from the time he was shot to the time of death. It was a horrible, painful death. That's something that a lot of times gets lost in the conversation. And then so many others that were hurt. The 400 block of East 6th Street, which is where the bars and the restaurants and all of that is, the heart, the soul of the music scene in Austin, Texas. So one suspect in custody, another still at large. And, I mean, just senseless, no reason. They were just innocent bystanders. So there is information that's being pumped out there about the little they know and asking for help in locating the other shooter, but just a very, very sad thing. He was, this Doug Cantor was working in the IT department at Ford Motor Company, and he was continuing his education. He was earning his master's degree in business at the University of Michigan and just loved Texas, apparently. And it's the end of a dream and horrible what happens to the other people in someone's family when they go through something like this, when somebody's just happens to be caught in the melee, and that's exactly the case here. So I got this from Jack in Oklahoma City, who said, "Kate, it makes no sense to me whatsoever, and it is this is the world we live in, and it is another one of these isolated incidents, perhaps, but it breaks my heart. As I went to school in Austin, and I had many a great time with my frat buddies and friends on 6th Street, and I'm sure you spent time there, and you know what I mean, and it's 1 o'clock, and you're going to get breakfast or donuts or whatever you're doing, and then to have shots randomly fired in your direction and take down your friends or barely miss you or hit you. It's just so damn depressing." All right, so I picked Jax out because he echoes what I say. It is just so damn depressing. And we live in a world where now, because of, especially in this area in Austin, there was video footage from a lot of different sources, because you have surveillance cameras here or there, especially in a big area like that, where it's a main body, where it's a main drag. And they did have that, so they're looking through all of that and trying to find this other, trying to find the other person. And it is just senseless violence. And Austin is one of those places. It's like all of us, right? You think, oh, this is a great town. Just like Jack said, oh, I went to school here. I gave lots of speeches there. Oh, people took me out and heard some great music. Oh, it's just great, great, great. And this would never happen here. The phrase, "this will never happen here," that's what's sad. That's the death of that phrase. It will never happen here, because it can happen, anywhere. All right, this one is from Bobby, who's listening to us in New Orleans. And Bobby says, "Kate, I think it's crazy when we hear that places are fine with you coming in without a mask as long as you're vaccinated, but then, of course, they don't require you to show your vaccination card. So who knows who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated? If I was unvaccinated, which I am vaccinated, would I honor that and would I wear the mask?" And I think lots of people are, but I think other people are like, you know what, it's safe. I feel fine. I do think we are operating on a bizarre, as you call it, honor system. I know, but here's the problem with that. Are we going to demand that people walk around and show a vaccine card? Are you kidding me? No way. Oh, no way. That does not wash. That won't happen. Now, when you talk about private companies, if they wanted to do it, like you're coming on to their campus for something, you're doing XYZ, like Foo Fighters are having a concert in Madison Square Garden, and you have to be vaccinated. Well, how do they know people are going to be vaccinated or not? What I heard, and I don't know that they're doing this for sure. I haven't been able to track this down, so I'll just put it out there, because it seems like, wow, could they really do that? That they would ask for vaccination cards. And I also find that hard to believe. I think it's the honor system, too, because, again, of what the blowback would be if you started carding people. That's like new meaning to the whole carding thing. It's like when you were a kid and you finally were of drinking age, whether it was 18 or 21, depending on where you lived and when you grew up. You know, that was what you would refer to being carded. Now we're going to be carded for vaccines. I don't think that's going to hold up in any way. All right, this one is from Kelly, who says, Kate, I've heard you talk before about having a friend or a roommate or somebody when you were in school in Ohio where their family got struck by lightning and they died. And I used to think that lightning strikes, yes, there were stories about it, but they were far and few between until a 15-year-old died at Tybee Island. And we have a place on Tybee Island. I think you probably know where that is. It's off the coast of Georgia. And sadly, she was struck by lightning swimming. Yes. Oh, that is such a horrible story. You're right. So you know that you thought this didn't really happen as much. Like, yes, you get it. Take cover and whatever. So she's swimming, and it was like 2:30 in the afternoon, and they got her out of the water as fast as they could, did CPR. They took her to the hospital, and she was pronounced dead. And she was visiting with her family from Alabama. And, of course, Tybee Island, the people there think it's terrible, awful, and express condolences, and obviously you would do the same thing. Lightning kills an average of 49 people, injures hundreds more. That's the key, injures hundreds more in the U.S. every year. And good memory. I did tell that story, I think, only once on the air, and this was a couple years ago. I had a friend in Ohio whose brother and father, they were both good golfers, whose brother and father were on a golf course in Ohio on our campus near Athens, Ohio, and all of a sudden lightning comes about, the stormy clouds, that whole thing, and they were on the green and they got struck by lightning and both of them died. And she was deathly afraid of, like, if it would start to pour or there was any sight of rain. And this is how she immediately told me the story. She was taking cover. She was not moving because of that. Because, of course, she had a sister and a mother still, but lost her father and brother. So, yeah, you know, when you can, take cover. I mean, this was a freak thing where she was swimming, and then poof, you know, there's the lightning. All right, let's move to this one. This one is from Big Al, who says, hey, Kate, I just say thumbs up to some of those positive stories you talk about. I heard you talking about the kid who sold his Pokemon card to help pay for his sick dog's vet's bill. I thought that was so interesting that he had saved up all these cards, and then when the dog is sick and he has to save the dog, or feels like he has to save the dog because they can't afford the crazy vet bills, he goes out, doesn't tell anyone, doesn't tell them why, and starts selling his Pokemon cards. I mean, that was just the best story ever. It was one of the best stories ever. You're talking about Bryson Kleeman, who wanted to, and that's what he did. He put his umbrella out, had his little thing set up, and it said Pokemon sale. And so people were going by, and he had just a lot of Pokemon cards that were so valuable, and he was selling them for a song and trying to raise as much money as possible. And then so many people caught on to the story. I think that, I want to say there was a GoFundMe page that also went up, and people were just loved the story so much they started to donate money to Bryson Kleeman, which, good for him. See, that just goes, I mean, there's something about that bond between a dog, a boy and his dog, or a woman's best friend, which would be mine, which would be Guinness. There's something about that bond with our animals, with our dogs and whatever other animals you may have. But I really feel like it's crazy, and of course you would do anything. But to hear what this kid did, and what the part I loved is that there was no mention, didn't tell people, nothing like, my dog's sick, help me, my dog's going to die if he doesn't get this, and just goes out on his own, puts it up, and decides he's going to do the wholesale thing. All right, 24/7, we're open for your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Kate
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This or that. Yes, Sir Eric joins us. I think he's in our virtual studio right now at the mothership. Are you there, Mr. Sir Eric?
Yep, I'm here.
Did you go and get a soda? What happened?
I've just been thinking about it, that's all.
All right, that sounds good. What's up with Twix anyway, with the left and the right Twix? What is that supposed to be, clever that I like right twists or something? I don't get it.
I don't like that, to be honest.
I don't either.
It's like, I don't know why they did that.
I think somebody, when you work in an ad agency, you have to justify why you're suggesting whatever. Oh, this will sell tons of Twix. Let's get people confused. Instead of selling the really good taste of Twix and figuring out some other twist to it, let's just make the twist. Here's the left twist. Twix, and here's the right Twix, and you decide. Whatever. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think they ran out of ideas. And someone in the back came up with that, and the person in the front said, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. We got to roll something out here. We're going to get a check with a lot of zeros, so we got to come up with something. So let's do this. Definitely.
Like, whatever.
People will buy it. Yeah, people will buy it. That's the difference between, though, a really creative and somebody who... Remember we had on this show the guy who came up with the Dove campaign? You know, where it was the whole thing about, oh, you're beautiful, you know, how women look. It was supposed to be empowering for women, for the real beauty. It was called Dove Campaign for Real Beauty. And it was an incredible success. They paid, and we had him on the show, they paid him $2 million when he came up with it, and they made like $2 billion. They paid him $2 million and made $2 billion, and it's still going. It was, the campaign was so popular, so he hit the right note and really thought about it and dug around and figured out, hey, this is what needs to happen. And it worked.
Unlike the Twix thing?
Uh-huh. Unlike the, let's throw it against the wall and see what people say.
Yeah.
That's like, let's say, I have to come up with the Musketeers, you know, campaign. How about an upside down the Musketeers? Wouldn't that be funny? The upside down world of the Musketeers. No, lame. All right, so this or that. This can be such an easy one for you, and I'm going to throw it out there just to be lame myself. Truck or SUV, this or that. Which do you prefer, truck or SUV?
A truck. And I just bought a truck, so.
Okay, so what kind of truck did you buy?
Chevy Avalanche.
An Avalanche. Does it have a big bed, a lot of space in it?
Yeah, it's really roomy, and the bed converts, like the seats go down, and so the bed turns into like an 8-foot bed.
Ooh, and you wanted to be able to haul stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's why you need a truck. I mean, if anybody's got horse tack equipment or business stuff, or that completely makes sense to me. And do you know what the number one state is for trucks in the United States?
Montana?
No.
Guess Colorado. Again. Colorado.
No.
Okay. How about Pennsylvania?
No, it would be Texas.
Oh.
I know. I know. And I'll tell you what, the Ford F-150 is huge, but Texas sells the most trucks in the United States. I had no idea. It is the land of pickups. Texas is king. I just had this conversation with a guy who's got a dealership, and I thought he was pulling my leg, and so he sent me a bunch of statistics. And 1/4 of all new vehicles sold in Texas are pickup trucks. They're
That's cool.
Luxury cars of Texas. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Texas. Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought it was cool, too. I live in Texas, and I do not drive a truck. In this or that land, I drive an SUV. And when I pull up in an SUV, people that don't know me super well say, I don't see you in an SUV. Well, what do you see me in then?
I can see you in a truck for sure.
I can see you in a truck. You want to tell me? I'm going to tell you. Do you want me to tell you one of my dating stories?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm sharing this with everyone who's listening. There was a guy, nicest guy, and I just went out with him a couple times. I was single. I had just moved to Texas, and a friend of mine owned. Oh, should I even tell the story? I won't tell where it is. Too late now, I'm in it. And he owned a bar. He had this cool pub, and it was down the street from me, and we became good buddies. It was almost like one of those Cheers places because, you know, he watched out for me. He was my friend, and he owned this place. And he would, at the end of the night, he'd say, okay, time for our private party. And there would just be a group of us, and, you know, everybody else would be gone, and the lights are out, and it's basically we're playing cards, whatever. And he introduced me to somebody, and we started dating a little bit, just casually. And he said to me, you seem like a Tahoe girl, like you just said the thing about trucks. And I said, Tahoe? I said, I love Tahoe. I used to go there when I lived in California, and his face just fell 50 floors. Eric, he meant the truck.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, I was dumbfounded like an idiot. I kept saying, yes, yes, I love Tahoe. I mean, I must have said it like five times, and he was not responding because he was trying to tell me, no, I meant the truck. So, yeah.
Did you know about the truck, too, though?
No. No, I don't know anything about trucks. I grew up in Philly. I lived in California. I know more about surfboards. I know more about paddleboards and tennis rackets and SUVs or, you know, cash cars or motorcycles than I do about trucks because, and I didn't grow up in a truck family, but it wasn't partially because it's not, it doesn't mean nobody in my family had a truck. I mean, I had an uncle who was a, it was in construction. I bet he had, my Uncle John probably had a truck and he was a deer hunter. But I can't remember that because that wasn't in my immediate world. That's not how they rolled. And it makes sense if depending on what you do for a living and where you are, like in Texas. So isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
I know. Yeah, no wonder why it didn't last. Four dates, pff, that was it. So we move on to this one. Cartoons, old-fashioned cartoons like Bugs Bunny, etc., Mickey Mouse, that kind of stuff, Donald Duck, versus animation. You got to watch one or the other, this or that. What are you going with?
Daffy Duck and all those guys.
Ooh, old-fashioned.
Yeah, Pluto, Goofy. Yeah, all the Disney stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so not the, like, you know, there's so many animated things now that are on TV, like Bob's Burgers and all those different shows that are popular.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
You don't watch them?
Not really. No, I've been, yeah, I'm more old school, like old, like, 90s animation.
Yeah, that's funny. We have that in common. I am, too, and I always get flack from my nephew. He's like, can't you just watch this one episode of The Family Guy? It's the funniest episode. Episode 109. Like, he just knows every episode, every funny hysterical line, every sarcastic comment, every actor's voiceovers. Yeah. And I do it for him. I'll do it for him. But it frustrates him that I am old school.
Yeah, I'm with you there. No, I'm old school, too. I like also, like, Warner Brothers stuff, too.
Oh, definitely Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there, maybe I could tell you some of the episodes, but the other, no. And, I mean, I know there's good material out there. I don't watch it. Nope. I just don't do it. The music's up already? We're out of time?
Already.
Already?
Short segment.
Oh, it was short. All right, this or that, that was fun. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Kate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.